Mother's in here just having a chin wag. Oh, we could have talked forever and forgot about the radio here.
Play another song, please.
Press that button, Jess. Yeah.
Karen, thanks so much for joining us. You are an integral part of my community. I've pretty much grown up with you being a mum. You know, we've kind of raised our kids together, haven't we?
Haven't we?
Yes.
Been in the school community, but also outside of it.
Yes.
And we've had a few shenanigans along the way, which is always fun.
Shenanigans with you is a must.
I love that word.
Shenanigans.
It's a great word.
Yeah. Is it Irish? It is. Irish.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder it's such a good word. Karen, we were talking about the power of a mother.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure you could write a book on it.
Oh, yeah.
I have written a book on it.
Oh!
Well, I have written a book that's actually just got released. It just got picked up in Czech Republic, would you believe?
Oh, wow.
It's being put out there for Mother's Day. And it won an award at the Able Awards last year in October. And it is Life Magic Mastery for Mums.
Oh.
So it's kind of like just showing how you can be a mum but still pursue your dreams and ambitions, you know?
Oh, I need to hear that. Yeah. I feel like, you know, like you, I have a lot of children.
Yes.
I'm at a point in this, in my motherhood journey where I'm like, teenagers who are selfish, not very nice people, and I'm like, who am I anymore, you know?
But they have to go to that point.
Oh,
so
I don't even
start
like
to
them.
Let go and you sort of get, you know.
Oh, okay, so you're willing to kick them out of the nest.
Yes.
They have to be horrible.
Have you
to
ever listened to Leanne Morgan?
No, I've not.
Oh, she's a comedian. She talks about motherhood and you're going, I get you.
Okay, cool.
She says she's just my daughter. She's just, you know, the light of my life, and she's just a nightmare. But they have to get that so that you let go as a mother.
Well, that's like last night I was at church, and I've got three who we call the top three, but I'm not allowed to call them that, and then the younger three, and the older three were like looking after the younger three, and I have a significantly disabled son, and one of my daughters was looking after him, and I was just sitting doing nothing. I was praying, you know, I'm holy and stuff, and this lady came up to me after Mass, and she was like, "It brings me such hope for the future watching your girls look after your younger children." And I was just like, "You don't live with them." They're just putting on a show, mate.
But it's good when they save it for home, isn't it?
Yes.
My kids save it for home as well. And I have high needs kids as well.
Yeah.
But I'm also really ambitious, and I loved and I serve through my ambitions. You know, I'm all about the power of story.
Yes.
And like you sharing that, I can connect and relate with that. And
mm-hmm.
and we do need prayers whenever we're mothers to get us through some days, honestly.
Absolutely.
But the thing that I want mums to realise is it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can make your blend, your fusion of life and make it work for you.
Yeah.
And when you do that, we're actually teaching our children, who are the next generation, to not sacrifice their thing just for conventional things. We're going, find your way and do it that way, you know?
And have that balance. Like I see, I see some mums who are chasing their goals or their work goals, and their kids feel like they're missing out. So having that balance of, I'm still my own person and I want to achieve things, but I do really love you and I want to meet your needs as well. So
Donna Bates shared like a really interesting last week she was on, and she was sharing just like a few tips and tricks when it comes to business and things that when she comes in and she has a client that may be struggling with different areas, she tries to include their family into the business. And it doesn't matter which shape, way or form. It may be having a goal list on the board of what you're trying to achieve within your business and then going, how can you help me with this? It actually helps your child along that way be a part of what you're doing, but then also help them look at going, oh, look at mum aspiring to this and I'm a part of it. What do I want to be? Do I want to be a part of this business, or do I have a business of my own in mind, or there's something at school that I'm aspiring to? And they start putting their goals on the board. And I just thought that was a really good tip to go, you know what, if you're in a small business yourself, include your children.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
And you did that so well, so much so, your son is now...
He was going into engineering. He was in engineering. There was no way he was coming into publishing.
Wow.
And then he broke his foot. out with the lads on a night, jumped off a roof. He told me it was a small wall, but it was a roof apparently. Broke his foot and was out of action for 3 months, so couldn't work. And he said, "Mum, do you need any help in the office?" And I was like, "Absolutely," because he's so good with digital tech and stuff like that. And he came in on board, and he fell in love with publishing, ended up going to Curtin University, studied editing and publishing, and now has his own publishing company that's really thriving, you know.
Thriving? So we're seeing his books everywhere at the moment, and as we said, he's hit the right genre because he's in, like, science fiction, isn't he? And we know that for young readers, that is hot. Yeah. At the moment, absolutely hot.
Yeah, and he's going to all the conventions, you know, and things like that. Whereas some of the things for whenever they were growing up, I was like, well, I can do that, but I'm not doing that. You know, like I didn't do so many events at weekends or stuff. I had to be present, but he's able to go and be present. And then he also is now doing events for us as well. So he's, you know, it all ties in together. It's just a beautiful synergy whenever things come full circle.
So how much of a role did you play in helping him develop his own publishing company?
He's not as flowy as me.
Is that the word, flowy?
Yeah, flow person. I'm very intuitive. I put my energies where it needs to go because I do a lot of multitasking, and he doesn't have six children. He's able to focus on his... So the connections and the things were there, so we would have got a bit of a springboard up, but he's done all the work. He's done it all himself, you know, it's really cool.
Now, you said that he just went to a large convention, didn't he?
He'd done three. He travelled over East Coast, and he'd done the Supernova in Melbourne, Supernova in Sydney, and the Gold Coast.
Should we give him a plug?
Yeah, do
it. It's New Dawn Publishing, isn't it?
Yeah, he's doing so. And the newest book they've got out right now is Kate Forsyth's Long Lost Fairy Tales, which we actually published through Serenity Press as individual collections. And Kate Forsyth is a doctor of fairy tales. Can you imagine being a doctor of fairy tales?
A doctor of fairy tales. Yeah. I think I want that written under my name.
To that. Yes.
She's amazing. And she talks so... you could listen to her all day. She talks as if she is... it's just beautiful. So we've done the collections, and then Dylan said... wouldn't it be awesome to do like a trade version that can get out into stores? And he put, so these are long lost fairy tales. They were written over 100 years ago that Kate has retold. Because whenever something's written over 100 years, it goes out of copyright. So you're able to work with it or quote from it or rewrite it or whatever. And she does that. She researches all over the world these long lost fairy tales and rewrites them for the current market.
Just making a note.
Yeah, we love them. Started with Vasilisa the Wise, and we had big success with that. It went into the US market and stuff, so amazing. And these fairy tales, you know, fairy tales are so important, especially for teenagers, because they show that there's always morals in it, there's always the journey, that you go through the adversity, but that it comes out the other way, and, you know, it all, you know, they put in the work and stuff.
You retreat to your mind when you read a book that's science fiction, where you have to, you know, imagine and create the world in your mind, and it's actually quite soothing and very good for your mental health, isn't it?
It's escapism. Yes. You know, we get to go and be somewhere else for a while, forget our troubles, forget, you know, things.
Live lives through a character.
Exactly, it is. Yeah.
Oh, that's like my daughter's song. She wrote a song about falling in love with a guy on a screen.
Yes. That was an excellent song.
It is an excellent song. She's very talented. She's beautiful too. Yeah. Just like her mum.
Oh, she has to get it.
Yeah.
Can we talk Roar?
Yes. Hear Us Roar.
Hear Us Roar.
It is... got a life of its own.
Yes.
That is, whenever a project calls and I honor the call and I show up for it, then it takes on an energy of its own and I just go with it. And show. So it's book and docufilm. You're going to be in one of them, Jess. I'm going to.
I laugh at that because I don't know.
Amazing. You were gorgeous and you were stunning.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I often look at what you do, and you give a lot of women a platform to share their stories. I went to one of your book launches, which was Global Girls.
Yes.
And that was incredible to see some women say, I didn't think I had a story in me. But then when I started writing, I realized I really do have something to share. And they had this kind of cathartic release of it was like it was extraordinary. And you connected on such a deep level to a lot of these ladies. And these ladies, one of them was a boob doctor, wasn't she? She was
she's actually written her own personal book.
Yes.
So she's nearly finished that.
So that was a platform for her to go, hang on a second, that she said that there was a cathartic release and I realised I've got a lot to share.
And that's why being part of anthologies is so important, because it's you dip your toe in the world of writing, and I want people sharing stories as if they're talking to someone. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, this is the theme. So I'm going to tell you a story on that theme. And that's how the word... I am Irish. This is what we do. If somebody needs something, help with something, you go and you tell them a story.
It's a cultural thing, isn't it?
People learn from that. And so that's what Hear Us Roar is all about. There's 8 books in the series. We've Lions filled up and launched. Lioness is just closed. It's the Stealth and Faith one. And it's launching in June. The tiger one, which is Passion and Purpose, is the one I'm going to hound you for. So watch this space, guys.
Okay, yeah.
Excellent.
And it's only 2,500 words, and you just share a story. And I always say, like, share your knowledge, what you've learned, and share a story, a personal story connected to that. And people will learn because they will connect with your story, you know, and they learn through just you sharing.
I like to think that IPL is bringing the community together. But I so relate to what you're doing, because that's what you're doing. You're bringing community of people together through storytelling and then letting them share and then connect with a wider community.
Global.
Yes.
Book one, oh my God, like the collective audience in there is, there's 38 authors, a lot of big profiles, and then there's just people who I've asked, can you share your story in this book? So it's from... Contrast is huge.
Yeah.
But it's, people have read that book and they're like, oh my God, I didn't expect it to be so good.
So how do you find the people to share the stories? Do they have to submit it to you, or do you go, I like you, you're amazing, Jess, you're writing a story?
So there's different ways. So it is a business venture as well. So people reply and they pay to be part of it. So there's that part of it. Then for influencers who... we'll give it a lot of get eyes on it, and we hunt them down and ask them to be part of it. So that's good. So it gives it more visibility. And then there's other people who I go, I want you in it, and can you please submit? So
Our very own Kerry Ridley was a part of it, wasn't she?
In Hear Us Roar. Her story in it is amazing.
Yes. Yeah. She said that she was, because she went over to Bali and really started put a head down and went, I'm just going to focus on being able to write this and share this story. And she said she was a little bit intimidated in knowing that there was all these other people that had these great stories, and would my story fit? Now, we all know how amazing she is. So she definitely had a space within that book, but it was so good to see her, you know, go, oh, I do fit in.
Her journey of that book, you know, that was phenomenal. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is perfect. This is the story I really want for the book. And you don't want all the same stories. You know, you have the same theme. Every single story is so different. Yeah. And that's what I love about
it. She's a colourful personality.
I love her.
Yeah.
She came to the castle.
Yes.
So I interviewed her there and stuff for the docufilm.
Yep.
And so docufilm's coming out end of the year. And it's going to, we're hoping to, we haven't got it confirmed until August, but we're hoping to launch it on the rooftop cinema in Perth.
Well, I'm looking forward to being there. Tell me how I get tickets, because I want to be there.
I'll be back in promoting
it. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. You let us know how we can share, because we've got local people that are a part of that. So I want to see our community out there supporting you and loving this.
And the wonderful thing about Hear Us Roar is it's a community. We have 116 people in our Facebook group, and everybody's interacting, and then everybody's in each individual book, but it's a collective experience. So if we're launching one book, or if we're having an event somewhere, it's for anyone who's in any book, whether it's written or published yet, or whether it has been published and launched. It's just about the community getting together, and every time we do it, it gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So, and every... the thing about connection is whenever, because I'm very precious over who's in mm-hmm. the books, like I've said no to people because I'm like, yeah, no, they're just in for ego and things. Whereas it's the story.
Yes.
This is my legacy project in the world, you know.
Well, you know, some stories fit, some stories don't. You'll know what will connect other yeah. people
when
together.
Everybody has a story, it's whether the people fit.
Yes.
And the intention behind the sharing.
Yes, the intention. And it's all about, like, there's lots of other opportunities for them. Mm. So I just go, well, maybe you're fit for this one, you know. That will give you what you want.
Do you have any books that I should be reading these days, Karen?
Master Gifts.
Yep.
That's my one. It's took flight. It got picked up in the Czech Republic as well. And it's all of my books together, you know, the mindfulness, knowing, intention, love, gratitude, forgiveness and belief. So it's all of those seven books together. And it's Master Gifts, permission to live without fear and on purpose.
How much do you go back to all those things that you know? Because we all stray from our path. Mm-hmm. And there's times where even though you know that you have a skill set but you sometimes go on a different road and you go, no, I have to go back to what I know is good for me, all of those things that you just said.
As you know, I've been rereading Master Yes. I started writing those books 7 years ago and I wrote one a year unintentionally for 7 years. So I only realised when I finished The Beauty and Belief that The Magic of Mindfulness was written back in or published in 2017 or something. And so that was one every year.
Yes.
And so those seven books, like I've journeyed so far and learned, but I actually didn't change them. I didn't go back over them and apply what I know now. I've actually left it as the journey of the seven books and where I was, you know, and mindfulness is still... When I was in mindfulness era, talk about eras, you know.
Yes,
every
yes.
single year, intention Seasons. Was my $1 million year.
Yep.
You know, and then love is always at the center of everything I do. So love is at the center of the series. So it's book four, The Law of Love. So
you said it's changed. Even though the book one you haven't changed, it's changed what you know about yeah. book one.
Well, I couldn't write book one now the way that I wrote it then. Because my level of awareness, and I've also, you know, I've experienced 7 years extra of life and being aware, and Mary would have only been one or two then, you know,
yes.
when I wrote that book. So I've evolved, and I could add different things into mindfulness, but I want to honour the process of the seven books and what they needed to be on that journey, because I think, and this is the feedback I'm getting, is that people are going, oh my God, it like this is not a self-help book that you... We'll just pick up and think. It's you, I journey with you. I say, here's what I've learned. Here's how I've learned it, you know, the journey. But take it on yourself. And there's activities and things in it. So, yeah.
Where can people get these books, Karen?
Master Gifts is available everywhere. It's going to be in bookstores across Australia in June. Through Perebo Distribution.
I'm excited.
I just had
Me
my
too.
First bookstore order from Perebo to go out into stores last week. So that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That surprises me because I've seen your books. On the travelling bookshop, like my little bookshop and things like that. Is this
UBD Books is going to do an event as well in
yeah.
Buckingham for Master Gifts.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Maybe we can get IPL Radio to come down.
You're always good with the ideas, Karen. We would love to be a part of it. Mm. Obviously, you're part of the family here. You yeah. were once a presenter.
6 months. I loved it. Loved every single moment of it. That was around the time Kira got diagnosed with diabetes.
Yes.
So I had to... They had to pull me off the chair. No, I love my Monday spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love IPL and everything that it does. And I'm just so glad that it's still going because it actually does so much for the community.
Yeah, sharing voices, sharing opinions, giving people a platform to be heard. Tris just does a really good job. And now we're going into print. Did you know?
No, I didn't know.
So Inspire Magazine is all about talking about those good news stories that you hear and see around in the community but may not be printed in your old newspaper. Mm. You know, there's a lot of stories where I think people want to share but are probably not getting the opportunity in mainstream media. And Trish really wanted to highlight those and get them in print along with a lot of businesses that have supported us and give them an opportunity to. And I think that's a great idea.
Good news.
Good news. We need Absolutely. More good news.
Yes.
So Inspire Magazine, watch this space.
Oh, exciting.
That is so cool.
It is really cool. I think what he's doing is amazing. He has terrific ideas. Mm. And, you know, IPL is a not-for-profit. We do require the support of the community. So if you can support us, get in touch with IPL. We've got a new little studio that we're doing up. What do you think?
It's awesome. Vibe's really good.
Yeah, it's going to be – it's still incomplete. We still need a lick of paint on the walls and things like that. But, yeah, we've got a busy bee coming up.
It's a work in progress, and we all are. Yes. Everything is. It's always about evolution. So once it's progressional – do you know that the word progressional is not in the English dictionary?
I did not know.
Progressional.
Progressional. Check it out.
It's not a word?
It is in my word.
I make up words
all the time. Keep things progressional. You know?
Well, you love words, don't you?
Yeah, I love it.
Me too. What's your words? Like, what's your favourite words at the moment?
Oh.
Dude, mine is shenanigan. Mine is shenanigan. Shenanigan. I love it.
I'm up for some shenanigans right now too, yes. Can we just have collective shenanigans?
Collective shenanigans. Word of the day. Yeah. Get into some collective shenanigans.
But not my children, please.
No. It's not a children's word. It's an adult's word. Shenanigans should be left to the adults. Kids are just cheeky.
Yeah.
Kids are just cheeky. Karen, I always love having you in here because you make me feel like that I'm a little enlightened every time that you come in and you share what's happening with you because you're so easy to connect to.
Well, life's for living, isn't it? And I always say that if you love life, it loves you back. So I always choose positivity every morning. Like last year, it was like I got run over by a steam train. Mm. But I still showed up every day and tried to get the good out of it.
Mm.
But also the lessons, because we're all going to go through adversity in life. But we can either let it define us for longer than it needs to, or we can learn the lessons from it, get up, do our best. And I just inject love into what needs your attention then and just get on with, you know, things happen. I've ebbed and flowed, I'm evolving, and I have a personal project that I'm doing this year, and I've actually just really started this morning in my 5 a.m. I'll get up and writing again for an actual literary novel that's a popular fiction that I haven't done before, but this story is calling me very loud. A bit of me in it too, so.
To get up at 5 a.m. it must be very loud.
I'm a 5 a.m. riser. I'm a 5 a.m. riser.
I needed you in my house this morning. We slept in. It was not fun.
I'm one of those ones whenever I'm writing and I'm up at 5 a.m. straight to the keyboard because it's calling and I wake up and go straight there and then it's like 7, quick, really fast, within 2 hours, and I'm like, oh shit, could I just leave Mary asleep for a little bit longer?
Does your story always come together like in one flow, or is it portions of a story that you have to connect together?
It's revealed as we go along. So I have the concept and I have the vision and I have like a storyboard of what it can be.
Okay.
But the characters always do their own thing, so I allow it to go. So, but when I'm in the flow of writing every morning. Whenever I'm going during the day, I'll get inspired thoughts, have to write them down or speak them into my phone. And so my subconscious mind's always working. So whenever I sit down at 5 a.m. the next morning, it flows again.
Yeah.
And the reason why morning works is because you're closest to a dreamlike state, which is like that state where you don't overthink things. You just allow things.
I'm still in a dreamlike state until I have my first coffee.
I think I'm still in a dreamlike state today.
You haven't finished yet.
I'm forever in a dreamlike state, but you know, in the mornings, it means that you don't overanalyze things that you might do during the day.
Yeah. How much do you love living in Rockingham, Karen?
Oh, I love it here, Jess.
The fact that you could pretty much live globally.
Anywhere. I know, but I came to Rockingham 16 years ago this year on the first day of spring. And I just fell in love with it. It was the first place we landed to, just fell in love with it. And so then we've built our life here. So I was 35 weeks pregnant as well, so I waddled my way around. We knew nobody. The rental market was what it was now. Yeah.
Hard to get into, is that? Yeah.
Because we had no history here.
Yes.
And then someone took a beautiful real estate agent took a chance on us and said, this property, if you want it, is there. got your name on it. And we were like, oh my God. And I had just said my miracle prayer 30 minutes beforehand.
Yep.
I have a miracle prayer that I go to.
Yeah.
And she rang up just out of the blue, didn't expect it. And that's the thing I do in life, is I set an intention and I don't try to control how it happens. I allow it to come in and answer that call, just in case. Or I action that inspired thought, and it usually leads to the intention.
Do you mean answer that call like the phone call? Because I tell you what, there's so many unknown numbers that call my phone all the time, and I'm like, I'm not answering that. And it could be opportunity, knock, knock, knocking at the door, but I'm just like,
it's opportunity to leave a message.
Yes.
Yeah. See, there you go.
I don't answer it. My phone has got to, and it's terrible that has happened, like over the past 10 years, our phones have now been sabotaged by people finding ways to ring you and push things to you. So
yes.
If I don't have your number stored on my phone, I ain't answering
your
phone.
I don't answer.
But 16 years ago, I did.
Yes.
And that was really cool. But yeah, I answer all sorts of calls because I set intentions, not goals, and so I'm not so laser-focused on the steps. I'm open to the opportunities and inspired thoughts that come that are aligned with that intention. That's why the big things happen. Mm.
I think as I've got older, I've learned that even the crap things that happen in your life, although they're crap when they happen, you actually do learn. There is like an opportunity there for you to grow, to learn. And when they're happening, they are shit, and you're not looking for that silver lining, but they do come.
It's my perspective on challenges in that, like, you may have set an intention for something and you don't know what you've activated, and that's why you need the awareness, the mindfulness. That's what I talk about in The Magic of Mindfulness. When you're mindful and you see something comes your way, it's not there to stop you, it's not there to make you think you, it's there to help you grow into and learn something and grow into the next version, so that, you know, your intentions and your dreams are getting closer, because we have to evolve in spirit and evolve in ourselves, so that it's the next, whenever, especially when we set big fat goals, like, and big fat intentions, you have to grow into somebody, so that it's just the next step, you know, it feels natural.
I think it's really interesting reflecting on who I am now, but seeing my oldest daughter has just turned 18.
Wow.
And so looking at her and seeing, like, the lack of direction and the airy-fairiness in her brain, and me just going, this is what needs to happen in my head, but trying not to push that on her, because her journey is her own and her choices are her own.
Amen.
So yeah, this parenting business, yeah.
It's a tough cake, yes.
Do not recommend. Zero stars.
Yeah. And, you know, I think especially the pivotal age of being 18, they've just come out of school. It is a transition. There are kids that go, yep, know what I want to do. Yes.
But that was me, because I always knew what I wanted to do. So I went straight from school. I always knew. And then I had six kids. That was not part of my plan, but that's okay. But, like, I always, you know, went straight from school into uni, into teaching. I knew what I wanted to do. There was always a plan until I had that first child, and she just didn't, I'm not going to say messed up my
blew
head.
Up your life.
Yeah, she did. And for the better, you know. I quite like all my children. Like, they're all awesome people, and I'm loving seeing who they grow into. But by jingoes, it is hard sitting
back and
watching.
It's hard whenever
you're
allowing them to, so that they don't have to undo so much stuff when they're older.
Yes.
It's harder being a parent and letting, like, my kids are feral at times, you know, letting them grow into who they need to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but every one of my six are totally different.
Yes, and, like, I feel like same parents, I have to parent each one of them differently.
Yes.
This is not fair, you know. We do have the same
parents.
We're
doing
the
hard work now so that they don't have to do, they'll make changes in the world.
Even watching, like, whilst I did say in jest that, you know, you don't get to see my kids at home, they really do have this heart and this compassion and this tolerance and ability to identify people who are maybe struggling a little bit and compassion to go and help them. Like, it is really beautiful to watch.
We had
a
war zone in my house last night. I was like, oh my God.
No.
Mary and Emma. It's like, we had never had sibling rivalry until the last two, and it's like, oh my God, our neighbours.
I walked into Elizabeth punching James, right?
Yeah.
So that's my 7 and 10-year-old. And I'm like, what is going on? I am just showing him how much I love him, Mum. The harder I punch, the more I love.
Oh my God.
And he's like, would not hit her back because he is just the most kindest, and he's just laying on the floor with his hands. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this girl.
Yeah. It's my 8-year-old and 10-year-old. Yeah.
Did you not just walk away and just go, they're learning lessons in life?
Oh no, I separated them because, like, really, Jimmy would never hurt anyone. He's just such a beautiful little soul. But Elizabeth is just so fierce, and I love that she is so fierce, and I know that she would not be here today, like, her birthing process and everything was just such a challenge, if she didn't have this character about her. But by Jingo's,
is she your 7-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah, my 8-year-old, she's like a, wow. Going to rule somebody's world someday. Oh, look. Because it's
wow. I said to my mum, I think that because of her personality, I might send her to Iona, because I went to Iona for school and all my kids are going to Colby. And my mum said, don't waste the money. She's probably going to end up in prison.
Oh. No, she'll end up running somewhere.
But yeah, she'll end up running the prison.
Yes, yes. That's what I know that Mary will be fine. Yes. She's going to be fine. She's she could sort herself out now. She's like, excuse me, Mum, you know, you're just in the way here. Yeah. You know, whereas all the rest of mine, I was like, I'll do and I'll show you how to do things until you're 10, and then when you're 10, you do it for yourself. You know, Mary's like, you're doing that wrong, Mum. Go away. Yeah. You know, she always wanted to do things herself.
Find her own way. Karen, I always enjoy speaking to you. Thanks so much for coming in to the Jess Address. You know, you've always got a seat here. We need to catch up more often, I think, because as I said, just hanging around listening to you speak makes me a happier person.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. That's so awesome.
No wonder your TED Talks are so popular.
I love that my TED Talks are reaching the hearts and mind of those that need to hear them.
Yeah.
My favourite is The Forgotten Art of Enjoying Life. That one is doing well.
The Forgotten Art of Enjoying Life. Do you think that people are forgetting what is required to enjoy life? I guess we're spending a lot of time in our phones and with technology and not connecting like we are as people. Do you think that's what's forgotten?
I think it's connecting with ourselves, Jess, knowing where we come from. I believe that too many people are leaning outside for the answers when the answers are within us, and that we should lean outside for the support to make things happen, trying to control the journey instead of going on the journey. You know, aiming for destinations and aspiring for destinations and living for destinations when the fun happens on the journey.
Yeah.
If you just allow yourself to enjoy it, it's not supposed to be a hard slog. It's supposed to be a learning process, and there will be challenges, but if you shift your perspective of it all, you will actually enjoy the journey and get so much more out of it. People, especially our children, will learn from our actions more than our words. I know my kids just think I'm nagging if I'm telling them something, but my actions they're learning from without me having to say a word. So I think that our journeys and sharing our journeys with each other, and that's why Here Is Roar series is so important to me, because it's the power of story, and we all journey, and what I would write now would be different than what I'll write in 7 years' time, you know? So we need to share our journeys as we're going along, because we're helping others along the way. So it's the journey where the goal is.
We're living take a deep breath, sink that in. It's so good to have you in here. Can't believe how much you share with us every time that you come in. And yeah,
I love when you come in, because I always like to. This morning was terrible. I was having a rotten morning, and you have come in, and I'm like, you know what? It wasn't that terrible. Life
I'm
is
all
good.
The better for coming in. So
oh,
thank
good.
You.
We'd love to have you. Love having you.
That's why I listen to the Jess Address every Monday. We can help make your Monday a little bit better. Thanks for listening.